Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
What up, Star Wars fam?
We're in.
That was perfectly choreographed. Listen, I just had way too much caffeine today, and I have a full cup ready to go. Ryan's on the H2O side. But welcome back to Star Wars News. We're so excited to be here. A lot of fun things to talk about. A good week for Star Wars. A new show, a new season is about to drop.
We're going to get
all into that. Before we do, I'm Steph Sabraw, a.k.a. Chewbacca's long-lost daughter, and I'm joined by my co-pilot, head of Popcorn Talk, Ryan Nelson. Rylo Ren in the house.
The force is strong with us this week. It has been a wild one for all those at home, and I think it's been a little slow with news, but we have a ton to talk about, because Season 7 is less than 11 hours away, people.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun episode. No drama, just good news.
We're
this
all
week.
Fine here. How are you?
We're really fine.
How are you?
It's fine.
We're fine.
That's some ASMR for you guys. I like to drop that in every now and then. Our producer Jeff Graham in the booth loves when I chew loudly into my
big Star Wars fan, Jeff Graham.
I will say, the only thing I'm a true fan of is Steph just chewing into a microphone. I love it. Steph's notorious for an accidental microphone chew. No, guys, I'm super excited to be here. As they mentioned, I love producing the show. Not necessarily the biggest Star Wars fan, but I am a huge pop culture junkie, so I will loudly insert my opinion when I have one.
He is, and you know who else are big Star Wars fans? You in the chat, which I'm monitoring right now. Shout out to Manny Gonzalez here every week, Greg Moscovich, Ivan Soto. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, and please share your questions throughout. Steph and I will answer.
Yes. We love it. Thank you guys for rocking with us. Make sure you hit that like button. Share the episode with your friends and fam. We love the support. So let's dive right in, Rye.
Let's dive in.
Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Season 7, baby.
We're hyped.
We're really hyped.
And guess what, y'all? Steph started watching.
Yes, I did.
She's catching back up.
So I never committed. I watched I've probably seen a majority of the episodes, but not in a sequential manner.
You fooled around with the show.
I fooled around, but I wasn't committed.
Right.
I was in a complicated relationship with the Clone Wars, but here I am. Fake ring finger on my ring finger. I'm married, and I just started watching, according to your plan, actually, the article you published on Popcorn Talk.
You can check it out. It's all the required episodes, I feel, for this upcoming season, which is tomorrow night, and we even got a preview for this episode tomorrow, which is called The Bad Batch.
I'm obsessed with The Bad Batch. This clip looks so cool. Ryan, what are you excited for just from that clip?
Well, what's wild about this, and from what we can tell, The Bad Batch is like a squad. It's Squad 99.
I love that.
That's what they go by. And it's a squad of clones that apparently have some mutations that are desirable to their combat, or at least that's what Wikipedia says. And we have actually four members of the squad, and we have little tiny bios that we also got from Wikipedia, so none of these are spoilers, but if you're afraid of getting spoiled,
just mute us for a second.
Mute us. Steph, who's Wrecker?
Oh my gosh. Rye, I want you to give it to
Fine.
Me.
Fine. Oh, okay, you got it.
God.
Wrecker. Wrecker, which we have a photo of. Wrecker is apparently the squad's strong man. He's big, he's brash, and he's the assault specialist, which is interesting. We've got a lot of fun squads in the history of Star Wars, from like stormtroopers to clones. This one I feel like is unique when you bring in like the mutation side of it, because I feel like, yeah, with cloning that must happen, but I think with this show it's interesting that like, hey, but the mutations benefit their combat, so this one his is strength.
I can do Crosshair.
You think so?
Yeah.
Go for Crosshair.
I love these names. Crosshair. The team's grim, sarcastic sniper. This looks so cool. I think I resonate with him. I want to be a sniper.
I'm getting like a Severus Snape vibe,
yes,
but with a clone. And he's a great hairline.
He does.
Also,
do we call it a great Crosshair line?
Ooh,
do we dare?
That's probably why he's called Crosshair. No, I think you're right. It's a kind of a weird... Is that the mutation, Jeff?
I think it is, yeah.
He's got a hair mutation.
He needs a Rogaine.
Oh, my God.
And we have Tech, who is... I guess you can guess who Tech is, but he's the hyper-tech specialist. Knowledgeable tech specialist, hyper-intelligent, which is interesting. I bet he's known for, like, slicing doors and I guess, like, getting into any type of facility.
I love that. I love a good hacker.
And then the leader of the squad, Steph.
Oh, Hunter.
Hunter.
The team's leader. We don't have much else information regarding Hunter, but we know he's the team leader.
And he looks like Rambo.
Yes, I was just about to say that. Maybe he's voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would
be dope.
That would be probably the best thing to ever happen. I mean, Apollo Creed's in the universe. You should get Sly. I'd lose my mind because Rocky and Star Wars are my two favorite things.
Oh, yeah, it is.
But this is a cool squad. And I think that that's a really unique... The thing about Hunter is that he's the leader and we don't know much else. So even Wikipedia was like, yeah, he's the leader. So I wonder what his mutation is. We'll probably find out tomorrow when we see the first episode of Season 7. But cannot wait for the Bad Batch. What do you think, Steph? You hyped?
Yeah, I'm so hyped. I was telling Rye before we started, they kind of remind me of what Suicide Squad could have been. And I love their introduction. And I think that they're going to bring a lot to this season. So I'm really excited for them.
Cannot wait. Shout out to Brandon Hannah in the chat saying, best Star Wars show on the internet. Holy cow, Brandon. You are a saint and a scholar and a gentleman. Shout out to Darth Baca. That's Chewbacca's long lost brother. She's the sister.
So we're related?
I think you're related. And we also got Star Drew in the chat. Thank you. Ugh,
you guys are the best. Love you. And I also just got a tweet notification from Vito just noting your awesome photography skills of me in that last picture.
Yeah, if you check out the tweet.
I truly look stunning in it, so check it out.
Yeah.
It's a great example of my modeling capabilities.
I didn't take it.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Graham! You picked it, though.
I did pick it.
So both of you are at fault.
I picked it.
You're both trying to screw me over.
It's my fault.
Fine.
I picked it.
Luckily, I have confidence. Okay, so let's get into... Oh, this was so cool, Rye.
Yeah.
We just stumbled upon this Mandalorian...
Oh, my gosh!
Yes. We were eating sushi, which you'll see in the pic that we posted. But he's like, stop. Hold the phone.
Hold the
sushi.
Check
this out. It's going to change the game for how things are filmed. We do have a little clip that you sent in, right?
We did a little time code from this video just while we're prepping it. This video is so cool.
Yeah,
it's the behind the scenes, all the visual effects and just the workflow of that for this series. Apparently it's different than anything they've ever done. There is a shot though in this thing. Yeah, Jeff, if you could just rewind that. This is the coolest thing. They have like a green screen where they're basically shooting live to edit. Because a lot of visual effects you do in post, this they can get live. So it's right here. Look at that.
That's insane.
They can control the background in camera. That's visual effects in camera. That's wild.
I just feel like this is going to also enhance the performances so much more because it's asking a lot of actors to do primarily green screen with no sort of setting around them. Obviously, most people can. We've seen Endgame. Like, they've all done great. But this is so dope.
And it looks really efficient because the big thing with a lot of...
You just need a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. You need the Star Wars dough.
Yeah, I need that Disney cash.
But I think the big thing why movies take just so long in post is not only you're getting the right edit, but it's the visual effects. And the fact that you can shoot them in camera, that saves so much time on your edit. I just think that they're going to get a lot faster at filming this type of thing. And that's just so awesome that you have that luxury. But you have that Star Wars dough.
Yeah. Actually, it's really good, but... It does stress me out because right now there are so many new things all the time and production is already so much faster with streaming and all these I can't handle anymore.
My gosh.
I still think this is cool. I'm so happy when they post behind the scenes footage because you really get to see the world building behind it and it's such a magnificent project.
Absolutely. Completely agree. I think that that's going to make season two film a lot quicker. Just the fact that they can do that.
Yeah.
It's unheard of.
Yeah.
Wow.
Agreed. And they are, they're in the process of shooting season two. And we do have a rumor regarding that later in the show that we'll get to. Exactly. So, cool news. The Star Wars Rise of Skywalker, the book that is, did it just come out?
Yeah, it was the novelization of episode 9.
Yeah. It kind of talks more in depth about that opening scene with Kylo Ren and kind of how he got there.
Yeah, a bit of a weird opening scene, too, because most Star Wars movies, you get the crawl, then it pans down left or right. It goes somewhere, and you're in space, and then maybe a ship comes into frame. This movie just, like, cut to planets.
Exposition.
And it's Kylo Ren
Find
just, like,
the Wayfinder.
throwing guys. And you're like, who are these people he's throwing? And then he gets the Wayfinder, and it's just the whole thing. You're like, why is he there? What was the inciting incident with all that? So this novelization actually shed some light and gave some more context around that. And it's just a good shout out. You should check out all the novelizations of these movies because they add a little bit more detail into things that happen in between scenes that we just don't get on film.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look into this. The book describes this opening scene. Kylo soon outpaces his stormtrooper escorts as he cuts a swath of destruction through the Alzamek, who attempt to block his path to Vader's castle, its crumbling ruins. Kylo enters the castle grounds with purpose and finds an ark containing an artifact that will lead him to the answers. So, cool. I'm down to read this.
Super down. Even a quick shout out to the Episode 8 novelization. I didn't read the whole thing, but someone showed me the first chapter, and so cool. It's Luke Skywalker basically having a conversation with himself and flashing back to when he was just a little farm boy.
Well,
like, oh my god,
yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I remember that. That was so cool. I do like, we were just talking about this, the books do give more information, and kind of, I love books in general because you do get to have way more setting packed into it because they're they don't only have 2 hours, they have 200 pages or whatever it may be. So that's dope. I'm excited to read that, get my hands on that.
Your hands on that. There's a lot of great books out there in the galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Let's get to our rumor has it, though. So
this is a big rumor.
There's a casting rumor going around for Mandalorian season 2 on a new character that will potentially explore more of Cara Dune's background and where she came from. And the rumor is that WWE superstar Sasha Banks has reportedly been cast. And this was reported by Mad Men Pro Podcast, and the source claims that she's already filmed her scenes for season 2. The casting rumor has yet to be confirmed by Disney Plus or the showrunners, and little is known about her character, but it seems likely that she's someone's, from Cara Dune's past.
Big rumor.
Big
not
rumor.
Confirmed.
That's
not
from a pro wrestling podcast.
It's from a podcast. It's like if we reported something, which is still cool, but it's still a rumor. I'm all in on this. I love this idea.
Okay, why?
She is awesome.
I've heard this.
I produce a lot of the wrestling content here, and so I'm constantly seeing her, constantly seeing her storyline in WWE. She is, first of all, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Second of all, incredible in WWE, and just like has a massive, awesome presence. I think she is a great person to be related to Gina Carano, who also has the wrestling or the fighting background. I'm so in for this, and I think this is such a great idea. I think it's fun. You know, you have a wrestler who does acting and just giving them another role.
You're saying she acts as a wrestler? Is that what you're saying?
Now I'm in bad territory.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that she's a performer, and because I think that she can perform in this field as well.
That's where I have a difference in opinion. Okay. Is that I think the WWE is so awesome. But I'm just not sold on the crossover so quickly straight from WWE. And everything I've heard about her is amazing. Like, she's so dope. Look at her. Yeah, she's stunning. Awesome. She's badass. She is a great performer and has great stage presence. But it's different when you're in such a high-stakes show to just cast people, because I get that they can do the stunts, but you have Disney money, so I don't really care about that sort of explanation. That doesn't really do enough for me to make that the reason. And also, I think Cara Dune, I do like her character, but I don't need another really similar character. If she was going to come in with something different, that'd be cool. But if it's going to be the same, I want a different type of woman character.
It might run the risk of being a little too similar, but I am still sold on her. I think she is an awesome addition, and I like that theme. If it's maybe from where Cara Dune is from, and maybe this is a longtime friend or comrade, I'm so game for this. I think she's a wrestler, so she's got the strength. She can probably do her own stunts, just like Gina Carano can. I think it's a really awesome pick and an inspired choice, and I can't wait to see her.
Inspired
choice. Here's where I'll playfully push back on you, Steph. In terms of WWE, I know what you mean. There's a bit of a stigma, but The Rock's first film appearance was in The Mummy. So, like, it's possible to take an unsculpted kind of WWE talent, put them, I don't mean physically unsculpted, right, obviously, but I'm talking like in terms of, you know, formal training, whatever, and put them in something huge and they become The Rock. So
totally.
Yeah.
But did we love The Rock's performance in The Mummy?
Oh, snap.
It's been a long time, guys.
Okay, I'm Sasha. So here's the thing. I am obsessed with The Rock. I think he's one of the greatest humans to walk this earth. I'm now liking his roles, but there's a lot that I still saw someone in the ring just taking on a role. It's hard because what they do is so it requires so much talent, but it's different.
Totally.
It's similar, but different.
It's very different. A lot of people in the chat are agreeing with Steph as well. We got Greg and Ivan all saying, I agree with Steph, plus one for Steph. Okay. I mean, listen, look, maybe The Rock's first role wasn't great, but he got there. I also think I'm a clunky. I am Sasha banking on her to be cast in this series, and I think she's going to crush it. I think she's going to prove all the doubters wrong.
Okay. I'd like to see it.
Well, I guess we will. We'll have to see.
This is a fun story. Harrison Ford was surprised about the Han Solo return, and then in this conversation he had during an interview, he didn't even understand what they meant by force ghosting. He's like, ghosting. It's not his territory.
Is force ghosting like texting, or
I'm gonna start force ghosting everyone.
Force ghosting. I love that. I don't know what that is. But the fact that this is the guy who in episode 7 is like, that's not how the force works. And you don't even know what a force ghost is. This is blasphemy.
He doesn't know how to force ghost. But
he's just happy. He's just like, I don't know, man.
But what I really liked about this interview is that he was saying when JJ asked him to do it, he was really excited about it and quickly sold. If JJ thought it made sense and enhanced the film, then he was really into it. But what was really cute was that he just wanted to be in more scenes with Adam Driver.
Yeah, you can tell. And we kid, like, it's all right. He doesn't know what a force ghost is, even though he's been in this for over 40 years. But I think the thing is with Harrison Ford, he's such a talented performer. Like, he cares more about, I think, the performance and the craft as opposed to maybe the minutia of the Star Wars facts, theories, and abilities. So I just think that speaks to him. Like, if he saw an interesting storyline there, that's why he came back. He was convinced there, and he was convinced to come back in episode 9 because of JJ as well. So, and he's doing press for Call of the Wild. And I mean, hey, we're going to see if he can open a movie that's not one of these big franchise movies. I still think he can. But
are you going to see it?
No. I mean, unless
I go with people. The cover photo. It's like him with a dog, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, it looks a lot like another Disney product. I think Willem Dafoe even did a similar movie on Disney Plus this year. I'm game to see anything Harrison Ford. This one isn't really calling to me.
This looks like something that my dad would just be like,
get in the car, let's go.
Yeah, get the wifey in the car to watch this. Yeah, this is him. This is a aging man's film for sure.
But people were hating on Harrison Ford for this.
Why?
Because they're like, he doesn't know what a force ghost is.
Oh, for that. I thought you meant for his new role.
Oh, no, the new film looks fun.
Oh, who cares?
I know, it's just like, guys, calm down.
He gave us Han Solo, he did enough.
And he crushes it every time.
Yeah.
Like lay off Harrison.
Come on. Yeah, he's fine. He forgave his son for murdering him. He's a good guy. That's all we need.
If
That's
he can forgive his son, you can forgive him.
Yeah. That part, Ryan. That part.
I know. Pun after pun today.
Okay. Another reason why Favreau is one of my favorite people. He's just so... just seems like a cool guy.
He just seems like a bro.
A great Twitter exchange happened with... do you want to talk about it?
A great Twitter exchange happened. This, I think, was today, right? He, Phil Tippett, he did work on the original Star Wars trilogy with the visual effects and the practical effects back in the day. Really talented. He actually tweeted at Favreau saying congratulations on the success for Mandalorian and all this. And he said he'd love to get involved in the future, but just like bravo. Basically just saying, yo, what's up? You're awesome. Would love to work sometime. And Favreau replied saying, hey, we're on set right now. And we're all talking about how much we just love to see you here.
He said, I'm a huge fan.
Dude.
That's so cool.
Like, open arms. He's just awesome.
Yeah.
The fact that he did that over Twitter publicly, like, yeah, come on down. What?
Yeah, because he didn't have to... Yeah, he didn't have to do that, but it's cool because it would be great to have him involved.
should check back in because I think it, we should check back in on this.
I think I should shoot my shot at Jon Favreau too.
Yeah.
I've done nothing for Star Wars, but hey.
You do a show?
Yeah.
Do a show?
And there's something just so earnest about him saying, thank you. I'm a huge fan.
Wow.
Like, it just feels like one of us. Like, he feels like one of us.
That's why
it,
I really said is. A great Twitter exchange happened.
I know. It's like the power of positive social media.
Yes.
I'm really in for it. I'm just happy that he is creating in this universe, he's a part of this universe, and right now he's done no wrong, and I'm just really excited to see where he keeps going with it.
Me too. In other news, in the comic world,
the comics,
this was awesome. A new comic reveals Luke Skywalker briefly wielding a yellow saber.
this is wild. For some context, y'all, and we've been kind of covering these comics like here and there the past couple of weeks. We might start actually reading them and actually giving you updates every week. Thing is, there's a weird release schedule with a lot of these. So for some context, there's two Star Wars comics that we're kind of covering. This one is actually just called Star Wars right now. There's been two issues, and the end of the second one had someone catch Luke Skywalker's lightsaber after his hand got cut off. And we're like, who is that? This is the cover, bear with me here, for the sixth issue, which is a few weeks away, and we're speculating, like, he has a yellow saber. So the idea is maybe after, but in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, before he made that green one, maybe he had a yellow lightsaber, which is nuts.
So this is after he lost his lightsaber on Cloud City.
Right. That's what we think.
Yeah. I also wonder if, and the only other time we've seen a yellow saber, which people keep debating Rey's lightsaber color.
Yeah, it was yellow.
But yeah, it was yellow, and I don't know where the debate is. Maybe
that was pea yellow.
Yeah, pure. So I don't know. I find it interesting that just happened, and now this is just happening.
Right. Oh, that's a really interesting point, actually. Yeah. Now, maybe that's the connection there. I love that idea. I also think, and it's sort of been a little blurry with like the Star Wars canon as to like what each color means.
Yeah.
Like green means you're more force and blue means you're more of a knight. Like, I think it's kind of up to the Jedi to pick, but the idea that he had yellow for a time being, that's really cool. And I cannot wait to see. These comics just sound so awesome, and they really shed some more light and detail onto these characters we love so much, and I think they do it in a really fun way.
Yeah, I feel like there's no real way to designate these. It's totally up to the Jedi.
What
is
yellow?
We have Mace with purple, you know.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson asked for a purple one.
And Samuel Jackson gets what Samuel L. Jackson wants, period.
That's right. And, I mean, I think the one thing we do know for sure is for red, I think red, the way you get red is you make the crystal bleed. Meaning, like, they use their dark force energy on it. Like, that's kind of cool. But the other ones, I think it's sort of up in the air. And I think we might learn more about them in these comics.
I would love that. That's the type of stuff I totally nerd out on.
Oh, totally.
I love the history behind those types of things. That's why I like Lord of the Rings. And,
oh, the best. The lore.
The lore. We love the lore. In another comic, so this is separate from Star Wars comic.
Yeah, separate from the Star Wars comic. Right.
Yeah, it's a confusing name with this.
Yeah.
So it confirmed that Kylo Ren was Luke Skywalker's first Jedi student.
Really, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I kind of assumed that when I watched the movies, but I it obviously wasn't confirmed, and I didn't speculate on that too much.
The thing that I was a little caught off guard by with this is, if you saw Rise of Skywalker, there's a flashback where he's teaching Leia.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean?
But,
like, he's teaching Leia how to be a Jedi. And I'm like, were you already teaching her son before that? Or was that, like,
no way.
Was she even considered a student? Maybe
yeah,
it was just like a
I don't think so, because she never became.
Right. Oh, well, that's a good point, too.
Well, she would,
maybe not full-fledged Jedi, but she would get some training.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting thing. Like, maybe I think what this comic is saying is that he was the first Padawan, like, he had the first actual student, whereas Leia, he was just kind of teaching to do a few things.
Yeah. This chapter also reveals Ben Solo's first audition to join the Knights of Ren, so it kind of delved into just how evil he could be, a different look into into that transition. So that will be cool to see.
We have some really cool comments in the chat. They're actually going back to that yellow lightsaber thing. Please. They're all saying, Brandon Hannah saying, the yellow lightsaber Luke is holding looks like the one he found from the old Jedi Temple. Will be interesting to see how it's explained. Looks like a Jedi Temple guard saber. Oh, that's right. If you watch like a lot of the Clone Wars, sometimes the guards of the Jedi Temple have yellow sabers. Mm-hmm. So there's a unique consistency there. A lot of people just saying, yep, yeah, the yellow is not really explained, reminds me of the Jedi guards. So yeah, I think there's not really a consistent user or type of person who uses the yellow. I think it's kind of just another color.
Yeah, maybe he was just saw a guard and he's like, bro, I need this real quick because I just lost mine and I'm about to build another one, but until then, can I use this? Thank you.
I think so. Yeah. But and back to this this Kylo one. Yeah, this is his first Padawan, and Luke brought on a bunch more students, but at the end of the day, Rey was the best one.
Dude, don't even get me started on Rey. Rey Skywalker.
Rey who? Rey Skywalker.
Dude.
Love it.
That will never get old. Okay. Why don't you take this next story since you're the big, you have been covering
the theories.
Yeah.
In Ahsoka. So we're going into Force Theory, y'all. This is where we highlight some of the more popular theories in the Star Wars ethos this time of year. This one right now is Ahsoka Tano, which, by the way, Clone Wars returning tomorrow. We are actually doing an interview with the writer of the Ahsoka book right after this show on the AfterBuzz Animation channel, so stay tuned for that. But this is the theory. The fact that Ahsoka Tano's cameo in Rise of Skywalker, we heard her voice at the end of the movie. The theory is that cameo means she's dead. Now, walking through that is because every other voice you hear in that scene are people who have passed or are Force ghosts or are gone, which is really, like, yeah, that's a good point. But Dave Filoni...
Oh my gosh, he came in with heat!
Came in hot!
Hot!
He was like, chill.
Yeah. Chill out. I want to read the quote.
We should read it.
Yeah, I have to wonder with Star Wars fans... Filoni shared. They seem to watch the movies, but they don't take all the lessons. Okay, Yoda Filoni. They deal a lot in absolutes, which is very much a Sith thing. The shade.
Dave!
I remember in The Empire Strikes Back, Luke speaking out through the Force to Leia. Vader also does this at the end of The Empire Strikes Back. There's no absoluteness that these people are dead. I mean, some of them we know are dead, but yeah.
Wow.
So I feel like calling him saying that out means she's not dead.
I think he's just like, don't guess the right thing, maybe. I think he's just like, who knows? Like, maybe they're not even there yet. Because we don't know what happens to Ahsoka, which is so exciting. Like, we're going to learn more. There's so much more to that story. And I cannot wait to see the rest. I think...
But she's alive at the end of the book.
She is alive at the end of the book. And she's alive in Rebels. And... The thing is, though, I wouldn't be surprised if she's dead, because this takes place 30 years after the original trilogy. She'd be pretty old at this point. Like, she'd be very old. I just don't think that... It would be unlikely, in my opinion. Maybe she would just die from old age.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
That would be, you know, 30 years post-Return of the Jedi, where she was already... I mean, yeah, that puts her in, like, late 60s,
but
early 70s.
Does her species age the same as...
That's the thing, is it's all... We don't know.
Yeah.
So I think anything's possible, and I think that's what Dave Filoni's kind of highlighting here. It's like, hey, it's all possible.
Yes.
But that is a common thread. Everyone else whose voice we heard, we, as far as we know, has perished. Okay. What do y'all think?
So the lesson is, don't be a Sith.
Don't be a Sith.
Don't speculate too much.
A lot of people in the chat believe she's still alive. It's animated, so if she's not dead, it won't surprise me now. Yeah, I mean, she's young in the Clone Wars, and this would be about like 50 years from the Clone Wars to then. So it's possible she's alive. It's just like I would totally understand if she's dead, but there's so many years of that story. Like, that isn't a huge deal to me.
Yeah. Quick thing before we move on. I need everyone to hit that like button.
Thumbs up.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's get into this, all this merch and access.
Merchandising.
Yeah, all this money to be made, all the more money to be made. So the UK will now gain access to Disney Plus March 24th. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense why they didn't have access. It's
Brexit.
Brexit. Brexit. But the internet, it's not fair because Twitter doesn't just like block our tweets from the rest of the world. Like all these places where
you can watch
social forums where we discuss it and give all these spoilers, it doesn't make any sense.
I feel bad for them.
Same.
They've probably pirated it, which is unfortunate, but
I would do the same thing.
Like, why haven't you given them access to this?
It's weird.
This is so late. This is 3.5 months late. They're going to be like, what's Baby Yoda?
Is there a reason? Because I just don't understand.
I think it's just the logistics of releasing this type of stuff, I think it's because it's TV, because it's this new streaming platform. I assume that now that they have access to Disney Plus in March, from here on out, they're going to get everything at the same time.
Okay.
But no, I don't really know the full reason why. I think that's
like
just kind of ridiculous.
It's just like an American flex. Like, y'all can wait.
I think it has to do, a lot of times, like, territorial release schedules had to do with, like, this is when I can, like, nerd out.
Go
like, old-timey film distribution was, like, 4 territories. Like, usually start America, then go Europe, then go Asia. But I feel like that model for film distribution is becoming less and less practical and relevant with streaming because the internet...
You're so right, and people are. It's going to encourage people to pirate it.
I totally agree. You're losing money.
You're losing money. Like, sign the deal. I think this is Brexit's fault.
It's Brexit.
But yeah, there's money on the table. I assume that from here on out they're going to get everything at the same time. It's just weird. Like, even if it is a territorial thing, back in the old days, you're right. That's how it worked. But it's 2020. Baby Yoda.
What era are we living in where we're just limiting access to people on the webs, on the worldwide, literally the world wide web?
It's so frustrating.
Whatever. At least they get it soon.
Yes. Congrats.
Only like 8 months behind.
Good day.
Okay. In other news, the Skywalker Saga box set is now available on Blu-ray for $129.99, which is a lot of money, but we did the calculations. Usually each DVD is $20. So you're actually saving some money.
Yeah, each pack.
Are you going to get this?
I would love this. By the way, this releases the day before my birthday. So,
when's your birthday?
It's the 18th.
Oh, we're both Pisces.
Yeah, I'm a fish.
Wait, y'all know I'm a Pisces too.
Whoa! Yo! Okay, so I'm March 10th, you're March 17th, and you're March 18th?
18th. So he's St. Patrick's Day.
I'm Patty's.
I'm St. Ryan's Day.
And I'm just the 10th.
You're the 10th.
Yep.
But I'm hyped. $129.99, it sounds like a ton. It is a ton. But it's a bargain, I think, with all the special features. What's really interesting about this is I think we're going to get like a ton of the deleted scenes. And this is around the same time that the Blu-ray 4, just Rise of Skywalker, is going to come out. I think it's cool. I kind of wish that, I'm just getting nerdy here, but like the packaging, I kind of wish the packaging was cooler. Like Fast and Furious did a box set and it was a wheel. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Like this should have been on the Millennium Falcon or something.
Like make the case of a ship or make it like Yoda's head. Something. Like, I want maybe it's Chewbacca and like you open his mouth and it's all the DVDs. Maybe it's R2-D2. Like just something cool.
R2-D2.
This is just like a book. This looks like a book stopper on a bookshelf.
They were too busy creating the life-size Baby Yoda.
Oh my
gosh.
To
do a proper box. Which the Baby Yoda merch has been revealed. It was revealed on GMA.
Today.
And the internet freaked out, as they should, because it's really Baby Yoda. This is actually more expensive than the entire Blu-ray set. But this is a hard question. Are you getting Baby Yoda or the Blu-ray set?
Yes.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
What about you all in the chat?
Bank. Yeah, what's everyone in the chat getting? Box set of all nine?
You have $160 to spend. Are you getting Baby Yoda or the Blu-ray set?
Tell us.
Answer by tonight.
Tweet at us.
Thanks.
Look at this.
Oh, shit.
That's like, look, normally this stuff kind of freaks me out. That looks so adorable. We're going to have it right here. Oh, my gosh. That is the cutest thing ever.
I just imagine young Steph, young Steez, seeing this, because I never asked for baby dolls. I never wanted any of that stuff. I'm like, why would I be an early mother? Like, I need to enjoy this childhood, adolescence, up until the last day that I can avoid motherhood. Why would I get this? But young Steve would have bought this and taken care of that thing like no other. Oh my gosh.
It's Mandohood.
Yeah.
You gotta get Mandohood. Oh, carry for the child.
Yeah.
I love it. This thing is going to make them so much money.
Oh God.
That is expensive.
Sold out though already, I'm pretty sure.
They have necklaces. Like, if you look at the display, Michael Strahan is like, I might get some of this. It's awesome. You have little pop figures, you have the doll, you have a smaller doll, and you have necklaces. You're gonna go to, like, a jewelry store and be able to buy Baby Yoda merch. Go to Zales, and you'll find Baby Yoda necklaces.
If I had a lot of money to spend, Quavo, one of the Migos, has what?
Sorry, there's people in the chat think it looks creepy.
Creepy? What do you mean? It's actually Baby Yoda.
Kavari says it looks creepy af.
As fuck. Oh, yep. You were just trying not to cut.
I was just censoring it like a Star Wars movie. dude, why are you so fixated on the Disney... Okay. they said they would actually, some people are saying they'd buy the steel cover of Rise of Skywalker, nothing else. Wow. And a lot of people are just saying, yeah, they're not too into the merch. Some people say, oh, yeah, we're getting it there. Already pre-ordering. Wow. Yeah, everyone's they're about it.
Yeah, I'm about it. I don't know when I would get it, but I think if I have another opportunity, I will. Anyway, so that's really fun stuff with Baby Yoda. He's also, I do want to read this one last quote, you guys. So Baby Yoda, this is on dictionary.com. His meme has been added, but there was a really funny article. I can't find it right now. We're running out of time,
It's so Adam Pally.
I'm going to drop it in the comments. He basically talked about how the scene where he had to punch Baby Yoda, and he got really excited and accidentally punched Baby Yoda too hard, and everyone on set was like, whoa, dude, what are you doing, you Satanist? Anyways, thank you guys all for joining us. Make sure you hit that like button. Leave us a comment after this video is done. Until next week, Rye, where can we find you?
You can find me at Rye Nilsen, N-I-L-S-E-N, and on Instagram at Ryan Nilsen, N-I-L-S-E-N, _ Steph. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw, S-A-B-R-A-W. Until next week, may the force be with you always. Mwah, mwah. Mwah.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.